Blog Talk Radio.
Can I get to anything over here? You know I got to get to the
professional, you have to have your records in order. It is necessary for you to be efficient and make sure that you just be able to handle things accordingly. So that's what we're discussing today. This is the topic for today on Grindology: how to keep your records in order. The best record keeping practices for professionals. I'm just saying, guys, like, I was cleaning out. And I do this, I purge documents. I don't know anybody else, but I can't even think when my house is cluttered. I can't move or make decisions when I'm in a cluttered area, like when my stuff is just not together. So I was cleaning out my file cabinet, and I swear, guys, like, I've seen stuff in there from, like, 1999. Anything in the 99, guys, you know that you done held on to it. If you got any type of document that has a 9 at the end of it, I think you guys need to do something with those things. You need to scan them and shred them or do something. But I remember when I was younger, when my mom moved, and this was like, I want to say maybe, when was my time born? 2009. My mom had an Illinois bail bill. Now, everybody know Illinois Bail was the phone company before it became, was it Illinois Bail, then it was AT&T,
mm-hmm.
and then from AT&T to SBC Global.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had an Illinois Bail bill. I'm just saying, guys, when you have bills in there from like 1979, 1980, what you gonna do with all that? Like, who is gonna come to my mom and say, Miss Hill, can I please have a Illinois bill from 1981? I was just like, my, how do you keep that? But as people get older, you know, it's hard for individuals to like let go of stuff. Like, we can be hoarders of documents, stuff we don't even need, guys. I mean, like, just junk mail. I have junk mail just piling up. As soon as I come in the house, it's just sitting there piling up. Magazines, credit card offers, loan offers. I'm just like, approvals that you know that you probably go ahead and try to apply for and they go to American Express approval. I just sit there and look like, really? Have I been pre-selected? And as soon as I put this in, there ain't going to be nothing but an inquiry on my on my credit report. It ain't gonna do me nothing. It ain't gonna do me no service. It's not gonna benefit me none. But guys, in order for us to be successful, real talk, we got to let go of the clutter. We got to keep our stuff organized. I don't care if it's personal, your household finances, you know, whether it's your career, you know, you gotta hold on to stuff in your career. Like, you gotta hold on to them certificates and that, and those good acknowledgments and stuff. But you gotta have it done in order. And the way technology is, guys, nowadays, it's best to just let the paper go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, do you find yourself like, if you ever think that you're gonna move or like, you know, go to another place, why would you hold on to all that paper? All you do is put it into another toy. And I'm speaking because this is a testimony. I'm trying to get delivered because I am a paper pusher. I hoard paper, don't I, bet? I hoard paper. I feel like there's something that I can go back into that I'm going to need. Now, here's the thing, guys. I have, like, maybe about 7 totes worth of documents. That's because I'm a researcher. I have my own business. And I manage paper. I'm an administrator, so I manage paper just naturally. But I got 7 totes full of documents, stuff that I know that out of the 5 years, the only time that I go in it is to clean it out and put it in another tote. I like literally weed through it. I know, guys, but I have to tell on myself before I start tearing it to other people. You know, you got to put your own mess. What it say, sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. So, I didn't do that. But seriously, guys, I'm a mess when it comes to paper. And me myself personally, like, I had to get into that habit of like making stuff more electronic. Starting to use like the cloud. You gotta put stuff on the cloud now, guys. Everything you can do now, you can put it on the cloud, and if you want to go into it 10, 20 years from now, it'll still be there. But you don't have to tote, I like that word. You ain't got to tote around a lot of papers, a lot of documents. But this is what we're talking about today, how to keep records, the best practices. What can we do starting out as a business, or even if I'm a career professional and I'm just trying to get some things in order when it comes to, you know, my job and moving up in my career or creating a good resume or identifying some of the acknowledgments that I've had over my career. Everybody needs to keep records, especially if you're a taxpayer. The IRS needs their documents. They want to make sure. I know we use TurboTax and everything else, and You know, and nine times out of ten, you feel like you don't need those W-2s and stuff. But guys, you got to keep all that stuff. But that's what we're talking about today, how to keep good records. So before we get into our first meat of the thing, I want you guys to go in. I know I actually posted our infographic today. Did I post it, Dr. Dana? I did. I'm going to have to post it, guys, when we go on our first break. But there's an infographic information that you need to help you today. And also, we also have different topics that we're going to discuss. The best record keeper practice for a small business, the best one for a nonprofit, because it's not always the same. You're not keeping the same documents if you're a small business versus a nonprofit organization. Also, and just being a professional, just, you know, having a job, you still have to keep good records. So let's start off. I'm just going to discuss this article before we get into the meat of things. It talks about choosing the right business record keeping system. You got to have a system, guys. You got to be able to put this stuff in order. It says one of the first things any professional must decide on is how its records will be kept. Accurate record keeping is the key to many aspects of your professional success, from assessing your operations, profit margin, to ensuring that you're in compliance with the IRS tax rules. Let me tell you something, guys. The IRS don't play. They might wait 3 or 4 years, and you think that they done climbed under a rock, and they will pop out on you like a jack-o'-lantern.
Yep.
It says, luckily, the IRS does not require businesses to keep records in any one manner, as long as the records produce an accurate accounting of income and expenses. You can choose the system that works best for you as a professional. There are no main ways in which business records can be kept manual or computerized. Record keeping are the only two. But we're going to talk about the pros and cons of both of them. So, guys, with manual record keeping, operators, professionals, ventures often opt out for manual record keeping. For a lot of folks, particularly part-timers, small business owners who have just one open door or who just started, the pencil and paper method is adequate. Some businesses grow out of manual systems, but others may find the manual system works just fine for the long run. Manual records satisfy the tax codes as long as they are accurate and can be understood or explained in question. But you have to shuffle through so much of it, guys. But we'll discuss that later. Of course, if you decide to use manual systems, you must learn how to use them accurately. There are a few additional ways to manually keep records as a professional or a small business. Pre-formatted record books. Now, guys, record books, you know those, the little black books,
mm-hmm.
back in the old days when some of the small businesses that ran efficiently and some of them that ran a little mm-hmm. bit on the other side, they had two black books.
Two sets of books.
They had the one that they would show the IRS and they had the other one.
The real numbers.
When they was running the lottery out of. Those were the little black books. But that is an actual way still, and I can't even begin. Like, that is just too much for me. I don't know why, but if it works for you guys, it works for me. But it's an inexpensive way of record keeping. You can get it almost at any supply store. You can get it from Office Depot. Is Office Depot still open? Office Max.
Yes.
I know they merged. Who merged? Yes. Was it Office Depot or Office Max?
Somebody did.
Or Staples. And Office Max. So one of them, I know they were merging. The other way is ledger sheets. Now, you know what these ledger sheets are, right? So it's the book where when you open it, it looks like graphing paper,
mm-hmm.
but it's green.
Mm-hmm.
Those are ledger books. Now, unless you have had like accounting 101 old school type accounting. I mean, guys, like, that's the only people that can be able to do a ledger book. I don't know, for me, if anyone out there that still does ledger books, I need you to chime in and let me know about that process, because I have no clue. I know about general ledger. Now, that I do know.
Okay.
But a ledger book is like, it's manual. It's back there with that, with the black books. But either way, those are the only two. Now, the pros to that is that it doesn't cost much. A ledger pad and books cost about $5 to $20. And the ease of the use is pretty simple, especially if you know what you're doing. But the disadvantages of having manual record-keeping systems is that they're often single-entry systems, meaning you enter each transaction only once. That's crazy. So that means that every time that you're doing your monthly ledger, you're putting in the same line items every month. That means you're writing the same things in every month and accounting for them every month. Now, there's people who work efficiently like that. So I don't knock that process, because if it works for you and it has worked for you, I'll say you keep on doing it until you see something better. But other than that, that's a little, you know, a little extra. It's not like Quicken or QuickBooks where you can just lock in the account.
Right,
and
right.
Then just keep going. You
right.
have to write it in there every day. Like, you have, I don't even know how often you would balance a ledger book. Some people might do it at the end of every week. Some people might do it at the end of every month.
I'd be in trouble if I had
to. I know I would.
I can't even keep up with a check.
Right.
I used to have a box, you know, you get your check, and you know where you put the other checkbook at. I would just go grab another.
I know how to balance a checkbook because I was taught that. I know, you know, how to write a check. I was taught that, but like, I don't know. Sometimes I think about going back to it.
That's why I always was amazed at those my brothers out here who do the illegal activities.
Mm-hmm.
They real good with numbers.
Yeah.
But no, and I always found that, you know, when I was, you know, I ain't gonna share it on your show, but you know, when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, they didn't know how to count, so I was real good at, you know, mm-hmm. keeping numbers, that kind of stuff.
You knew how to keep.
That's all I'm gonna say.
He was the bookie.
All of a sudden.
He's the run number. He's the Silky Slim.
Yeah, I just kept the numbers right. That's all.
You kept the numbers right. Which one?
And let you know somebody was short. That was my. I just let you know they were short.
You was the street accountant.
I just was. Hey, I was a little smart kid on the block. Hey, you count this and we, you know. And you go and get this couple $100. Like, ooh. This is a job.
Guys, where we get our skill sets from.
Right.
But I thank God that we're able to use them for good.
Come on now. Tell the truth. Shame to all of them.
I'm glad there's some integrity behind our process.
My books was accurate, though. I was scared of what might happen if they wouldn't.
Oh, my God. You'd lose all your fingers, and you need them for counting.
Look, I
got
the numbers right now.
It's like, if you chop up all my fingers, I ain't had. Like,
all right. For the ass machine.
Right, for the ass. That's my favorite movie, guys. Life. I'm stupid. I'm being stupid today.
Life is an underrated movie.
Oh, my God.
It's a grossly underrated movie.
You know, but I love it.
Yeah.
I can watch it like 3 times a day. Just that whole part right there. It's like, cut off my fingers. I can't. And I need these for adding. But the next area of record keeping,
mm-hmm.
which we're going to talk about today, is computerized record keeping. It says keeping your records on a computer follows the same principles as the manual system, except the computer automates the process so it's faster and more accurate. a simple to use software like Quicken, QuickBooks, any of those, eliminate the need for a handwritten set of books. So you input each transaction into the software program and assign a category to each one, which I love doing. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can categorize that stuff, and then at the end of the year, you ain't got to scramble for 20,000 receipts. Whether a descriptive word like advertising or a number code such as 201. The pros of using a software program is it eliminates math errors, instantly see your income and expenses by category, get profit and loss statements. This is key right here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Profit and loss statements and other financial summaries quickly. You ain't got to look at the books and then go in and try to create a document that's going to create your profit and loss or take your books to an accountant so that they can identify, you know, but you can be able to get those. And then it interfaces with compatible tax programs. So like QuickBooks actually connects with TurboTax.
Yep.
So all you have to do is just connect that whole thing and they pull it out of your accounting system into your tax, into the tax system, and bam, there it is. All you got to do is just make sure everything looks the way it needs to look so that you don't have to re-input the data come tax time. So the cons of using software programs is that they're slightly more expensive. You know, there's simple programs like Quicken, QuickBooks that's like $50, and some are like up to $150. But guys, I'm telling you, the way that these apps are right now, like I used to be a real QuickBooks fan,
mm-hmm.
but I no longer use QuickBooks like that. There are other apps out there that are free.
Yes.
That you can be able to put your information in and get the same documents. But I'm going to tell you that later in the show. But overall, regardless of how you keep your business records, your records in general, guys, you must still hold on to what accountants call source documents. You guys don't know what source documents are. These are the receipts, bank statements, invoices, other records that back up the numbers that you have in your record keeping system. And nowadays, guys, you can be able to upload that, scan that stuff in on your computer, put it on the cloud, and boom, it's there. It's sitting there whenever you need it. You ain't got to tote around a lot of paper. But the real question, guys, and I need to ask this before we go on to our first break, is do you feel like it's necessary to have an accountant or a bookkeeper or somebody to manage your records? I mean, do you feel like you have that type of professional financial savvy that you can manage your own books? Or do you feel like it's more safe, more, you know, how can I say, better to connect with a bookkeeper or an accountant? I'm going to tell you like this. Accountants, they going to charge you. They going to charge you by the hour. Some range all the way to, what, like $75 up to like $300 an hour, depending on how many books you have, how much expenses, what are your revenues. They'll take all that stuff, and then you pay a whole salary for an accountant. Now, if you got that money, get that accountant. But if you don't, I got the solution for you. I got some things up my sleeve, I can tell you. But what they say is most new businesses don't have the money to hire bookkeeping, at least not right away. This makes it so much more important for business owners and professionals to choose a record keeping system that they're comfortable with. Something that's simple, something that will allow you to go in and take care of this stuff yourself and do what I do. Like I do my own bookkeeping. My clients, I do bookkeeping for them. But at the end of the year, I have a certified accountant review all my processes. Sometimes I do it quarterly, depending on what the client is paying. Sometimes I do it all at the end of the year. So then what I do is I take everything that I have, all the financials, all the finances of my clients, and I go and I sit with my accountant, and I contract the accountant. And I sit with her, and I tell her, I say, you know, take a look at these. Let me know what it is that, you know, we can do differently. Let me know what you know, is right, where we should move this, how should we itemize this. And I charged her half the price of what I would do if I had to hire her to do all the work. So there is some work that you can do throughout the year yourself, and then just at the end of the year, take that information to an accountant so that they can review your processes and tell you what you're doing right and wrong. Make the adjustment, and then you can invest a small amount of money into managing it for the next year. I mean, it's an awesome practice. But what they say is, if you can't afford to hire a bookkeeper or an accountant, does this mean that you don't need to worry about the ins and outs of different record-keeping systems? Absolutely not. Tax laws place responsibility for most bookkeepers and accounting errors squarely on the owner. So that means that if you have an accountant or a bookkeeper and they mess up your books, or they mess up your accounting, your finances, or any of your accounting figures, it's the owner. They're going to put it on the owner. They don't want to hear, oh, I had a bad bookkeeper. They don't care about that. They don't care, oh, well, I have a bad accountant, or somebody filed my taxes incorrectly. Mm-hmm. You're still responsible for it. So that's why, most importantly, even if you have a bookkeeper or accountant, like my mom said, you got to know how to count your own money. Mm-hmm. You got to know how to manage and effectively manage your own finances. That way, you can be able to see what the next person is doing to your finances, whether they are right or wrong. So I'm telling you guys, this is real. We're going to make sure that you get yourself together, your house in order, and we're going to find the best. By the end, by the time we're through with this show, you're going to have the best record-keeping system. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to do it just like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have any questions, then you just reach out to your girl on Grindology, and we'll make sure that we get all that good and set for you. So once again, we on TTLO Media. You guys can call in. I got to remember what the call-in number is. Andre the Magnificent, Daryl. I'm just saying, guys. You know, God forgive me. I'm going to get this stuff. I'm going to get it right. You know, my husband coaching me, he's like, now when you go on break, you got to plug the media station and do the call-in number. So when I got out the car, Dr. Dana was like, yeah, you're right. That's perfect. Then I could just remind myself to tell you guys that we on TTLO Media, Grindology, and what's the number? Amen. 323-870-4375. Once again, TTLO Media. We on Blog Talk Radio, guys. 323-870-4375. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to have it by heart. I'm getting better, guys, every day. But we're going to take our first break, and we're going to get right into the meat of things. I'm just thankful for you guys for joining me today. I'm going to take care of some stuff. Then we're gonna get right back. Thank you, Dr. Dana. Astrology Today. I'm your girl, Lisette Herrington, and we are discussing today the best record-keeping practices for professionals. Guys, it is so important that as professionals, I don't care what type of professional you are, it is important, guys, for us to keep good records. I mean, in order for us to be essential and effective and in order and doing everything in decency and in order, ain't that right, Sharon? We have to keep good records. So let's discuss one of the major areas. Like, I'm giving you some really key bullet points today about it, guys. If you have any questions, just feel free to, you know, just hit me up, put it in there in the inbox. The first one, let's talk about it. Keep all tax records and receipts. This is for any professional type, whether you're a small business, non-for-profit, or a career professional. Keep all tax records and receipts. Every professional is required by the IRS to keep documentation for support items of income, deductions, credit, anything, tax returns, all that good stuff. This documentation is how you can prove to the IRS that you earned what you said you earned, you purchased what you said you purchased. I mean, you have to keep these records. Now, it's difficult. I don't know about anybody else, guys. Good evening, Sandra. It's difficult to hold on to a lot of records. Receipts, like, I'll go and I'll purchase something, I'll throw the receipt in my purse, and I mean, nothing tells me take that receipt out until it starts being balled up and crinkly in my purse.
Right.
And then I take it, and then I start, you know, I just look at it, and then I throw it in the garbage. You know, I'm like, you know, next thing you know, I just got this waste basket of receipts that I had over the week. I don't think about taking them out. I don't think about looking at the different line items of what I purchased and say, oh, this is a write-off at this time, or oh, I can utilize this as a deduction. I just throw it in the garbage. Or eventually it sits there, and then the ink starts to deteriorate off the paper, and then now I just got a blank paper that looked like it was a possible receipt. So what I've learned to do, guys, is to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have a software that does it. Like, you know, QuickBooks, they have it where you could take images. The system that I actually use is Wave Financial, guys. That is a free system. You can download the app to create invoices and make and take pictures of your receipts.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, just take it with your camera phone.
Mm-hmm.
And just put it in some type of, you know, anybody who has an Apple, they have the cloud. You know, they have the iCloud.
Everybody got a cloud, not just Apple.
I'm just saying, though.
Yeah, I know how you can write the Apple up.
I'm just saying, because I got an Apple.
You have an Apple sponsorship?
I got
no, we don't. So
we speak in things as though they were.
Okay.
Apple.
You got an Apple.
Come on at me, because I'm just saying,
yeah,
like, in a minute, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, guys, like, you know,
don't
Apple.
The cloud.
Let me bless the droid users in the house, because,
right,
you know, they want to try to throw shade on Apple. But you can also, they also have the droid cloud, what you call it, the droid drive, or what is that? What is it
Google
called?
Google Drive.
What is the droid drive? They
no,
have
Google
a drive. They have
then,
like a drive cloud.
Before it was an Apple cloud.
Yep.
Was it Dropbox?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I remember Dropbox.
I don't even remember. It's still around.
Oh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I got new news.
Yeah.
Now that I became an iPhone.
She was Lutheran. She could be closer to a long ago. Now
yeah.
She's Lutheran.
That's section of
right.
Section of
I'm just saying, guys, though, like, real talk, like, at the end of the day, you have ways to do it. You can take a picture. You can put it, like, I also like Microsoft OneDrive.
Mm-hmm.
OneDrive is also some Microsoft,
not Apple. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's one that's connected with your, you know, your Outlook and your Microsoft product. Why are you throwing shade on Apple? I'm trying to understand that. But, you know, like, you have so many options. Now, I know if you have it on your phone, Some of it has like a storage limit. Like I know Apple, they tend to have a storage limit. I don't know, do Droids have a storage limit?
It depends on which one you have. There's a free version. You think there's one that you pay for? Wait, what's the problem?
I'm just saying, you just got real sophisticated.
I don't know, what's that on?
No, he got real. He got real, Sandra. He got real professional. Like he just went real into a hole.
It depends on what you pay for.
I wish I could turn the camera on you on him so that he could so people could see exactly how he just went very sophisticated.
Well, yeah. So I mean, but there's several features. I personally have like 2 terabytes of service, so I never run out.
Terabyte for you? Really? That's a lot. You never run out with a terabyte. But it really is, because that means you got a lot of junk. But I mean, if guys, and you know, make if you have a terabyte, that will save your life. Get 1 terabyte of whatever storage it is. If it's 1 terabyte, you good. You can download a lot with 1 terabyte. But it is so important. Yeah, he just got real bougie. I wish I had a camera that I could have just turned around so you could see the bouginess that he got into about the Android. That was like the most. But like, you know, at the end of the day, guys, regardless of what type of phone you have or what type of system you have, it will be good for you to take pictures of your receipts. And you can just document them. You can put in the dates and, you know, and just pinpoint that stuff, guys, so that at the end of the year, all you have to do is search through your database. That's it. Search through your database and just pull that stuff down and you'll have it. Because, you know, the IRS don't need it until they need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's the whole thing. I started doing my own taxes ever since I was a little kid. I was 15. I found my first taxes. I got $500. I knew exactly how much I got to. I was like 15, 16, found my first tax, income tax, and got $500 back, guys. Look at God. She's praying for you. Sandra's praying for you. I just want to let you know that. But once I identified how to effectively, you know, manage my receipts and stuff, I used to have them in envelopes, but now I just take pictures. Just take pictures, guys. Keep all of them. You don't know when they're going to ask for it. Now, the statute of limitations tends to be 3 years, so I'm letting everybody know the statute of limitations is 3 years from the filing date. Now, here's the thing, guys. If you file your taxes, say, for instance, we have people like myself who get a little thirsty on income tax time and want to file our taxes on January 15th, January 1st. I don't know anybody else. I'm just going to speak for myself, who get a little thirsty and want to file their taxes like January 1st. The IRS statute of limitations is still going to take the actual date, the IRS date, which is April 14th. So even though you would say, oh, well, I filed my taxes on January, that means that I have till January, 3 years from now to, you know, before the statute of limitations. No, it'll be April 14th of that year, whatever that year is that you filed. So either way, you have 3 years, but I would still hold on to them. Still hold on to your tax documents. Still hold on to your receipts. Keep them things, guys. But take pictures. Put in, digitize that. Don't be sitting around with a basket full of receipts. I'm talking about myself. But you know, like when them little wicked baskets you get from Family Dollar, and now you just got to sit there and you just throw all your receipts. But although you can do that, I had a client and I love her dearly. When I was doing her bookkeeping, she would give me a Ziploc bag full of receipts every time I dropped off her payroll. It was like, she would give it to me like, here, one of them, not the small ones, the freezer bag. Like, here, sort through this. And I would have to sort through all of it and scan it in and, you know, and digitize it for her. But I was sitting there like, oh, my God, you could possibly make these many purchases in 2 weeks. But she did, guys. So, and God bless her because she is an awesome business owner. But definitely Keep all your tax records. Keep all your receipts. I don't care where you are. If you're a career professional, if you just got a job, you say, let's say I don't have a business, I don't have a nonprofit, I don't need to do this. You sure do. I mean, you still earning an income. You want to make sure that some of that stuff you might, you know, that you have to write off for work, you know, some of the stuff that you had to do extra for your job. You know, some people, they drive Uber and Lyft and do Grubhub and DoorDash and all the Instacart and all that stuff. You got to keep all that stuff.
Caviar.
Yeah.
Postmates.
I did Postmates. Who else did I do?
Get them on the show.
Regardless, if you're doing any of those, Uber, Lyft, if you're doing any delivery, you're going to have to keep your records. When you get that gas, when you get those tune-ups on your car.
Yeah, I started taking pictures a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then even now, because I'm bad with receipts, it's like I take pictures of everything, and I just send them straight to Tanya so she can file them.
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise, they go lost.
Hey, Ed. I mean, yeah, definitely. You have to, like, when you're going and you're, like, going out with your friends and y'all have lunch dinners, business dinners. Now, what, and I always tell people, say, what identifies a business dinner? Like, you can go out with your girls and say, girl, let's go out to, you know, hang out at Ruth Chris, and we just going to hang out and kick the Bobos. Nah, that's not going to work. That's not a business dinner. Right. But if you say, girl, let's go to Ruth Chris and let's talk some business, and business is being discussed at that dinner, at that lunch, you can write that off. So make sure you hold on to the receipt.
Every lunch is a TTLO lunch.
Because if it's not, I don't know what it is.
Air lunch.
Everything that I look.
Every time I go, air lunch.
Everywhere that I go.
Did you look at the TTLO? Yep, okay, good.
Let's talk about the gray areas of entertainment meals.
Don't get me started. Hey, IRS, I love y'all.
Let's talk about, because I ain't getting out of there. Let me tell you something. The Internal Revenue Service, please know that every dinner, entertainment meal, anybody that I serve in a meal manner.
Right, right.
A meal manner is being discussed. Strictly and solely for business. I know exactly who it is.
And McDaniel says, I'm treating you to a business lunch.
Yes.
That's what she said.
Tomorrow.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, she's not treating you. Ann is not treating you to a business.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Ann. I read it, and it just said you. I figured, you know.
He took it upon himself.
I'm typing back. I figured she was talking
and pray for him. He's going to need it. But yes. We can, Subway. We gonna do a little Subway.
Yeah, that's something.
Chill it right off.
Subway.
Subway.
That's not a business lunch.
That is a business lunch.
No, that's a business snack.
Subway is a whole lunch.
Is it?
No.
Maybe it's because, you know, I'm sorry. All right.
Okay, guys.
Okay, moving on.
It's Subway lunch. I'm just saying. Okay, but we ain't even gonna talk about that.
Lunch? No.
Yes.
See, my problem with Subway is I have to spend, like, in order for me to get a sandwich that is worthy of me eating it,
yes,
I have to spend almost $17.
Yes.
Because them two little pieces of meat they put on there off that piece of paper, and then three little pieces of cheese, and then you want to try to fool me with a handful of lettuce.
Guys, we're not even going to get into the lunch, but here's the thing, and he just ruffled all my feathers right now just talking about that, because I have a husband, right? When we go to is it a snack in? Is it really a snack in? But we will go to Chipotle, and Mike would get a burrito, and I swear the man will have a burrito that's so big it takes two of the flour tortillas to roll it. The pole burrito roller will die because they're trying to keep all his meats and his ingredients in that big. I'm like, that is the dumbest ignorant burrito ever.
That's just on my spot when we get off the air.
Oh my God. Jesus. I'm just saying, men should eat decently. Like, if it's portion.
What scripture is that?
Right.
Oh, this ain't that kind of show.
Decently and in
portion.
Eat your portion.
And crab.
It comes from etiquette.
So when you're eating shrimp and crab, is it decent in order?
I ain't gonna even say we're not even gonna talk about. We ain't gonna even. Why are we talking about that?
You
ain't got nothing. Okay, let's get back to it. Main point, guys. Keep your receipts, all of them. Whether you put them in a basket or whether you digitize them, take pictures of them. Please keep your receipts, guys. It is so much easier and quick for you to snap a picture. If you're taking a selfie every 5 minutes, you can take a picture of your receipt. As soon as you get it, click it. And if you feel like it's something, and I'm not saying every receipt, right? But like your gas receipts and receipts of purchasing supplies and things like that, stuff that you know that could be itemized and you can use it on your taxes, please take a picture of it, store it in your documents, so that you can use it by the end of the year. Let's go to the next thing, which is what we've been basically talking about, guys, when it comes to good record keeping. Go paperless. Go completely paperless. Like, you can definitely continue to do it the paper way if it works for you guys. But in this day and age, it is just too much of a hassle to manage a lot of paper. Even jobs now, like at certain companies, they don't even do the paper no more. That you don't have like 20 file cabinets that have, you know, 9 years worth of payroll documents in it and they have to hold on to it for 7 years. They scan and stuff. Things are done electronically. It saves you time and energy. I mean, there are so many apps that you can actually use right now to go paperless. Like I said, QuickBooks. You can do Wave. I'm telling you guys, Wave is life. I'm telling you. Like, once I'm a QuickBooks fanatic. Like, I just charted accounts. I was just doing everything, working in QuickBooks. But when I, like, with the change of the financial processes and the apps that are constantly flowing out, you can find you one good app that will be able to bless your soul. Sandra said y'all got her thinking about food. I know, right? Whole nother different show. We ain't talking about none of no food. We talking about record keeping. And they over here talking about Subway and Chipotle. But it said,
you brought up Subway.
I did.
And Chipotle.
I did. But in terms of receipts, that's what I was going to It says, you have a lot of paper. You have to review, keep, both personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Paper has a way of piling up over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Going paperless can be very effective and easy accessible and time saving.
Mm-hmm.
That's my infographic, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's my content.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. But I'm like, save some time, save energy. Like, go paperless. How do you do it? I mean, it doesn't take that much. Download the app, guys. Go and download the app, Wave Financial, or go to QuickBooks, or just go into your app store. What do you guys got? What is the Droid? Is it the Play Store?
It's the Google Play Store.
Oh, yeah. Go to the Google. If you're an Android person, go to the Google Play Store.
Yeah, the Google Play Store.
Or go to the
more reverence.
I'm just saying, go to the Google Play Store. Go to your little Google Play Store. But for iPhone, for the sophisticated people, We go to the app store and just type in financial, finances, fiance, any of that. And it's going to pull up all kinds. Mint, you can do that one. Budget, Clarity Money, I like that one. That was a good one. You got Acorns, you got NerdWallet, you got Digit, you got Wave, you got all these things, guys, that you can download to go paperless. Mm-hmm. Just find the right one, the one that's easier for you. You can test it out. If you don't like it, delete it, go to the next one. You know, but you have to test it. And I don't suggest putting your account in everything, because that's one of the things that kind of was like a little nerve-wracking to me. Some of these newer apps,
mm-hmm.
like if you have a certain, like I bank with BMO Harris. So if you have a certain app that you download, and now, you know, they try to do that interface connection between mm-hmm. the bank, and like some of them don't have BMO Harris. Some only have Chase or, you know, the other ones, Bank of America and stuff. So that's the only thing that kind of irritates me about apps and financial. So they don't have all your accounts that you can download. But if you have it to one secured account, you can be able to effectively manage everything paperless. It'll bless you. It'll bless your whole soul. The next area, guys, and I just got to stress this for everyone. Hi, Angela. Hi, LaNasia. You have to start simple and refine later. So don't feel like in the like right off the hip, guys, like you got to go in and create this complex record keeping process that has all these extra bells and whistles that makes it difficult for you to manage. You know what you need when it comes to managing your records. You know what categories you have. Not everybody has the same categories. Not everybody has, it's not a one quick fix or one quick effective process to managing your records. So you know what you need. Simplify it. Start off small. If it's just recording everything, connecting your account, and copying your receipts, that's it. Then just do that. You don't have to create 8,000 chart of accounts. You don't have to have 9 separate accounts for each little thing, but you do have to make sure that you're managing it effectively. That's just it, guys. Start off small, and then at the end of the year, like I said, consult with an accountant. You don't have to consult with an accountant every month. Consult with them, unless you're rolling an adult. Now, if you got loan money and your business is generating revenue, you can afford an accountant. But for people like myself who can't afford to pay anybody $300 an hour to do my records, I'm going to do them myself, and then I'm going to contract an accountant at the end of the year to review my processes and tell me exactly what is needed. What should I do? What should I refine for the next year? What other accounts that I need to set up? I mean, get your ideas in order, get your finances in order, keep yourself simple, and then go as you're going along and as your business starts to grow or as your nonprofit starts to grow, change up your accounting, change up your record keeping. I mean, it'll bless you. I'm telling you guys. I'm telling you, we're in the process of trying to get these things in order so that we can be effective when it comes to being entrepreneurs or professionals in general. We got to have this stuff in order, guys. When people are asking us things about our revenues, when we're trying to get loans, when we're trying to, you know, get credit cards, when we're trying to file our business taxes and not end up owing or having to deal with a bunch of stuff at the end of the year, I mean, you got to keep your records in order. You got to keep your records in order. I mean, it is what it is. Now, let's talk about the next point. Guys, you have to separate your personal and your professional. You can't have it together. Can't have that together, guys. You have to separate your personal and your professional records. Let me tell you why. You don't want to wait at the end of the year scrambling, trying to decide what is personal and what is business. What is personal and what is professional? it will be a headache for you to take 12 bank statements and go line by line, checking off this is a write-off, this isn't. This is business, this is personal. This is, you know, I can write this off, I can't write this off. You don't, like, how many transactions do you literally make in a month? And then you have to sit there and go line by line, like, no, I got this from Walgreens. I just bought some nail polish. I didn't need that. You know, no, separate that. Mm-hmm. Separate it. Have a separate account. Make sure that you have a business account and you have your personal account. Make sure that all the stuff that needs to go into your business account is aligned with your business account. And even if you have to make purchases using your personal money, make sure that you can transfer that income into your business account and make the purchase so that you can keep accurate business records. I mean, it would be so nice. I'm like, I'm trying to save you the pain, guys. Like, I know, I mean, because I've been there. I had to scramble. When you first start, you don't really go through the whole process of getting incorporated and, you know, having your EIN number and stuff so that when you go to the bank, you know, they can recognize your business as a legitimate business and give you a business account. Sometimes if it is just having two separate accounts, if you don't have an EIN, if you're not incorporated, then just have two separate accounts where you can manage your business and manage your personal. Now, guys, for me, I know I have a couple of them. Like, I have PayPal, like, you know, and PayPal, they give you the debit card now. So if you don't want to open up another business account, you can just do PayPal. The only thing is PayPal has a lot of fees when your money comes. You only want to pay that $3. What is it, 3% on the, but sometimes you have to. But the fee is a write-off. That's all I'm just saying. So at the end of the year, you can calculate that and put that in your itemized deductions and, you know, and write that fee off. But at the end of the day, you can use PayPal. They got Square and I was going to say Cash App because even Cash App has a fee. But you use Cash App and a card.
You have a card that you transfer to the fee. And the only thing with Cash App with fees is you only pay a fee when you rush to get the money. If
yeah,
you
have it
transferred
true.
In 2 days later, there's no fee.
Yeah, that
and,
is so true.
And then you also get it put on the card, and there's no fee to use the card.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's ways of saving yourself mm-hmm. from those fees, guys. But I'm just saying, keep your personal and your business. If, like I said, what if I have all my money in my personal account and I have no money in my business account and I need to make a purchase? I would say transfer that money into your business account, Cash App it to yourself, send it to yourself some way, somehow, and then make the purchase using your business account. That way you can track your expenses effectively. I mean, guys, you just don't know. I'm like, I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to learn you today. It will save you the headache because at the end of the day, when you're filing your taxes, and I don't know if you do it yourself, like myself, or if you take it to an accountant, or if you take it to H&R Block, and they're not gonna sit there and shuffle through all that stuff. They're not gonna even sit there. First of all, they charge you an arm and a leg to process your taxes. But then what they're not gonna do, mm-hmm. what they ain't gonna do, is they're not going to go through all your receipts and just sit. Now, I don't know, guys, because it's been a while since I filed. So, like, anybody who files with H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt or what's that, Liberty Tax or anything that files, do they do that? I mean, do they ruffle through your stuff? Do they, like, look at your stuff and say, oh, okay, yeah, you can write this off? Like, no, I don't think they do that. Mm-hmm. Unless they charge you extra. But you guys, let me know, because I've been filing with TurboTax for some years now, and thank God I ain't never had an issue, knock on wood, never had an audit. Oh, glory, never had an, hey, you got to knock on, you got to be able to be thankful if you've never been audited, if you've never had that type of issue, because it is a headache. But that's the reason why it pays to have that. Because it's like, how do you identify when an audit comes up? I can tell you that, but we're not going to talk about that until tax season. You know, that's another one of those things. You will know. You can predict. I have predicted people who are going to get audited. When they come to me and someone has something from like you have these set of numbers and then you turn around and try to file something different, I'll be like, yeah, you might be audited. How do you know that? How do you know I'm going to get audited? I'm just saying. Those numbers just don't add up. It don't look right. And sure enough, guys, I mean, like, I have been able to call some audits out. But the thing is, thank God, Sandra, like, you know, when you have your business in order, when you have your finances in order, the best thing is not to hear from the IRS. When you get an IRS letter, it irritates you. It's like burning coal in your And people, like, when they get to that point with the IRS, they be wanting to run. I'm like, you can't run from the IRS. You just got to face them. And just be like, hey, man, I ain't got it. I ain't got it. I'll talk to you next year. But at the end of the day.
Can I put something on it?
Right. You know I ain't got nothing. Y'all see right. all my, y'all can tap into all my expenses. Y'all know that I ain't got it.
Right.
But I'm just saying, guys, it is so important. Because at the end of the day, God forbid if you are audited. God forbid if you have those type of things. If you have to scramble through those papers to justify, I mean, they are not nice at all. And if you have to go into each line item that you, sometimes you even forget what you can put on your tax return papers. Now you got to switch back and try to identify, what did I tell them that I put in this for this entertainment? And now you got to go and gather up all your documents, your bank statements, your receipts, and everything to show them that what you said that you paid for, you actually paid for. So, guys, that's what I'm saying. Go paperless. Go paperless. Keep your stuff separate so that it'll save you the headache and the time. I mean, this is necessary. But let's talk about one of the final areas of simple record keeping for professionals is commit to the maintenance. Doing your records and having accurate records and efficient record keeping takes commitment. You have to set aside time. I don't care if it's 30 minutes a day, a week. I don't care if it's monthly, quarterly. Take the time to maintain your records. Take the time to look at the information that you're saving to see if it's relevant. Make sure that you're putting them in the proper category. If you still want to go paper after this, make sure that you take those receipts and dump them out of that basket at the end of the week and sort them out and put them in the file folders that they should be in. But make sure that you're committed to that. If you're committed to having a successful business, if you're committed to making money and generating revenue, you got to commit to managing your records. Because if not, you don't know where your money's going. You don't know if you're overspending. You don't know how to effectively budget, cut back, or anything if you do not know what's going on in your records. I mean, you have to keep them. There are some records that you just have to have forever. Like, there's different statute of limitations to keeping records. But for the most part, if you're a nonprofit, you have to keep all your establishment records. You have to keep them forever, as long as that nonprofit is in operation. If you're a small business, you have to keep all your incorporation documents, your EIN numbers, anything that is, it's just like a birth certificate or a birth certificate or a marriage certificate or a social security card. You got to keep those documents because those are the ones that's going to drive. And says, do you recommend a business credit card? Absolutely. The reason why I say this is because you still don't want to use your personal credit cards to manage your business. You want to use separate information because you don't want to use the same credit card that you're making purchases at Burlington Coal Factory that you're using to pay payroll taxes. I mean, it just doesn't, it's not a good process. What I call it is that you got to make sure that you have healthy financial hygiene. Keep your records clean, separate, don't contaminate them. So, yeah, if you have to have a business credit card, I mean, business credit cards are good for anything. It's good for you to help develop your business credit history, but it's definitely good because, once again, it keeps your purchases and your transactions separate from your personal. Definitely, definitely. I mean, once you get them, you want to make sure that, you know, don't be buying hair products on your business credit card, guys.
You trying to tell me I can't go get these bundles for
No.
Oh.
Don't buy, unless you're selling hair and wigs and that's your business, then by all means you can use it. But if you're doing it because, you know, you about to go to Jamaica and now you need, you know, no.
Oh, okay.
No, you can't buy, that's not a good look.
Okay.
That's just not a good look. But I'm telling you guys, I'm trying to bless you today that, you know, it's a commitment. Having great financial records, keeping your records in order is very, very important for a business. You can't call yourself, or you can't even have the desire to want to be an effective, growing, thriving business, nonprofit, and your records aren't right. I mean, I've seen so many instances where, you know, you just have to scramble to get this information. And it takes time and it takes a lot of energy to pull these documents out and search through them in boxes. And sometimes you might have an organized mess, which means that you know where all your mess is. I know where these receipts are. And even though it's in this Ziploc bag and you can pull it out, you're like, hey, I know where it is. If you have an organized mess, God bless you. That means that you are functioning mess. You're a functioning hoarder, and you can manage your papers like that. Hoarder.
Okay. I got nervous.
You are a functioning hoarder. Now, I'm the first one to tell you.
Messaholic.
Yeah, you're a mess. You're a messaholic. Now, I can be able to confess that I am. I'm still weaning off of the paper crack, guys. I'm still weaning off of it. I like paper. Paper, I can feel it between my fingers. I can, you know, I can see it. And you know, and not all the time. I like being on my phone and trying to organize stuff on my phone. I'm like, you know, when you get a certain age, sometimes paper is life. You know, it gives you substance. You know, we always want something tangible that we can actually look at. And sometimes we don't trust these apps. Like, there's so many popping up. You don't know if somebody's going to take your information. I understand that. You don't know, like, all these, like, Experian, when the credit people have a breach in data and all these other LinkedIn and all these other companies that, like, have breaches in data. You don't know who to trust. You don't know what app to trust. But one thing I can say, guys, that if you are using an app, make sure that they have the secured levels necessary to protect your information. You don't want to try to get on any app that does not secure your information. Like, if they look sketchy and you don't believe it and you don't trust it, guys, then don't use it. Do not use it. But things like QuickBooks, I'm telling you, like, Wave, I'm still like big up in Wave, guys. Like, they have blessed my soul. But like those particular, you know that they're secure. Not to say, because like anyone can be breached. Anybody can, any company can have a data breach. But feel secure in what it is. Commit to your information, getting your records in order. Definitely pass the answer. But she said, now that I'm older, I need screensavers to remind me to go to sleep. You need a screensaver to remind you to go to sleep. I promise you, like, it's bedtime. But I mean, I'm telling you, it is. You operate so much from your phone. Guys, if you're on social media, if you're on social media, if you are on constantly on your phone, then manage your finances on your phone. You know, I'm not going to even lie to you. I have my BMO Harris banking on my app. I got Instagram. I have my Cash App on there. I don't know everybody else. I got Fingerhut. Anybody got Fingerhut? I got the Fingerhut app. Fingerhut has an app, guys. Like, they came a long way from that catalog. They still send that big catalog in there. You better not owe Fingerhut no money.
I don't owe Fingerhut no money. You know, I used to get more. Fingerhut used to show up. Yeah.
He better not owe Fingerhut any money, guys. You know that you're supposed to use Fingerhut just to increase your credit score, help you out credit-wise. You spend $100 on Fingerhut and you pay $10 a month just to build your credit. You do not go on there and buy $3,000 worth of stuff from Fingerhut. And I'm going
to
pray for anybody who has actually did that. Don't you go on there and pay $500 for a $20 pair of shoes. Don't you do that. Don't you do it. But I got my... Don't you do that. I got my PayPal app. I got my Sam's Club. I mean, I manage overall, guys. I got all my banking apps. I got my Skype on here. I even got my Jewel Osco. I mean, overall, guys, I mean, I got my tolls. I don't know how many people pay tolls, but that toll thing, guys, is tricky. That thing will mess your whole life up.
You paying for tolls?
I am paying for tolls.
Oh, tolls. Oh, okay.
What did you think I said?
No, I'm not. We good.
Because I know you, I'm trying to see what.
Your
I mean, guys.
That's
no, tolls.
Oh.
Tolls. Those things will sneak up on you, guys. Like, I have the little iPad thing. If that thing go dead, they don't track that stuff, and then you just get hit with $20 toll fees. No, that ain't working, but I got an app. I got an app for it that I can pay for when I see that yellow and blue, like when you see the blue going past,
right.
That means you're good. That means you got money. But then when you cross it and then you see that blue and yellow for everybody who's in Chicago or in Illinois, when you see that blue and yellow, you know you ain't got no money on that iPad. You know you got to take care of it. But everything, guys, I have everything on here, like bill pay and everything. So my thing is, if you manage your life with your phone, manage your finances, go paperless, start now, go in those totes, start looking at that information through them papers, get you a scanner. Sometimes the scanners are only like, what, $100 now?
Mm-hmm.
Get you a scanner, guys. Scan all that stuff and shred it. Scan it and shred it. Shred it and scan it. Categorize it by the year that the information is. Put it in a electronic file folder and get your life together so that we can be able to run and grow in these businesses effectively. Because what you don't want to do is wait until you're at the peak of your business or the peak of your professional game, and now you're scrambling trying to create order in something that was a mess in the first place. Start off good. Start off strong. Bishop Earl Davis, start strong, finish strong, and let's get this thing together. We're going to take one quick break, and then I'm going to close out with you guys. But look, guess what? You're on Grindology, where we discuss everything professional on TTLO Media. I am your girl, your host, your professor. I like that. The professor. Mike just rolled his eyes, guys. Like, oh, God. Look, that person, and I'm just glad, guys, that I'm being able to give you this information. Why? Because we're trying to progress. We're not trying to be stagnant in these businesses. We're not trying to be able to run through a bunch of mess. We're trying to have an effective, growing, thriving, revenue-generating businesses and professionals. We're trying to be at the top of our game, and in order for us to do that, we got to make sure that our stuff is in order. Get your house in order, guys. here's the thing, guys. Like, I have been through so many different areas of research when it comes to these particular things, and that's why I feel like it's important. Like, you don't have to always go and purchase $40 and $50 on someone who has a infomercial or some type of expert in the thing, and they want to charge you $20. Sometimes things, they work when they're just free. When it's just free and it's based off your experience and what people can be able to grow and gain the information that it is to, you know, just go to the next levels in your business and your nonprofit. And today we talked about the best record keeping practices for professionals. Now, we're like going through this whole series, like, I, you know, we, like in like was like two shows ago, we were talking about some of the most important practices to successfully run a nonprofit organization. And that really kind of like birthed this whole series that we're talking about. Like, instead of just having these talks, guys, it's just important that we teach, that we be able to take things away at the end of the show that will allow you to think and go into the next levels and say, oh, okay, you know, let me look at these apps. Let me transform my business. Let me change some of my practices. Let me alter some things so that I can get in line with where I'm going next. And I just thank you guys so much for just allowing me to give you the information, because that's what I do. I'm a researcher by nature. I'm data analytics all day. I think I sleep in data. But at the end of the day, I do. Sometimes I sleep and I just work and analyze data in my sleep. That's I don't know how good that is or healthy that is,
so
but
Mike,
it works.
There's a lot of data in the room?
Yes.
Okay.
There is. One time I did do that, guys. One time I was asleep and I was telling Mike to get a file from, I don't know where he was, but we both were in the bed and I told him to grab a file. I was working really hard. Have you ever did that? Have you ever worked so hard that you start talking in your sleep about the work, like you're still doing the work? I don't know, but I know I've done it.
So I don't work with you.
This is crazy. But at the end of the day, we were talking about the simple record-keeping practices for professionals, right? First of all, guys, keep all your tax records and your receipts. Make sure you snap those pictures, put them in some folders, keep them digitized. Digitize it. It saves your soul. Another area is go completely paperless. Like, take all the headache out of managing paper. If you're on your phone all day, for those who still want paper, do it. If it's not, if it, like I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if you want to grow, if you want to prepare yourself for the next levels in yourself, professionally, business, anywhere, go paperless. It's always, it works. The next thing is just start simple and refine later. You don't have to start off all complex and make it so difficult for yourself and overwhelming for yourself that you just stop doing it. You need something that's simple that is easy for you to maintain periodically. You got to do that. Got to do that. Next thing is make sure you keep your personal and your professional separate. Keep those things separate so it makes it easier for you to track your expenses and your records. Don't mix it together, because at the end of the year when you're trying to do your taxes, you're going to have a headache. And last but not least, commit to the maintenance. Make sure that you are making a commitment. This is an investment in your professional life, guys, an investment in your business. If you don't have the time, then maybe you should consider a bookkeeper, or maybe you should consider an accountant. But if you have the time, you need to do it. And like I said before, guys, you don't have to go to an accountant unless you got that type of money. You don't have to go to an accountant every month to manage your bookkeeping and stuff. Sometimes you can do the simple things and then contract your accountant at the end of the year so that they can review your practices of what's occurred over the year, and then they can give you the tips to prepare you for the next year. I mean, guys, I don't know about you, but we got to get it. We got to go to those next levels. And that's what Grindology is. We discuss all things professional so that we can progress, so that we can, you know, do this thing. And I'm your host, Lestat Herndon. I will see you guys next Thursday. I mean, we're going to have another informative show next Thursday. But make sure you get on your game. I'm going to definitely post the infographic for the ones who need it just to keep it informative. And, guys, guess what? If you need any assistance, if you have any questions, guys, hit us up on TTLO Media. You can send it in the inbox, or you can send it in my inbox right here on Grindle. I mean, just give us the information. Like, I can help you, and I'm not going to charge you. It's not going to cost you nothing for me to give you information. Now, if I got to do it, I'm going to have to charge you. But I love you guys.